Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message.
Man, it's good to be here today. See? Love you, man. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name. I love Grace Church and love your pastor and his wife and a lot of pressure if I'm in the top five. Man, I messed it up this morning, so Lord, I don't even know what I said. My wife said, you did a great job, just blow your nose. And she is watching, but so hold on. No, just kidding. So I want to say, well, my son DJ is watching right now. Hey, Deej. He had texted me just a little bit ago. But it's so cool to be here. This is a great church. This is by far one of my favorites to come visit. And I always joke and say, anytime you can preach to Tina Turner, you know, it's cool. Hey, Ike. Not really quite for sure what we're going to do today. Just give me a moment. Think through this. God's moving, man. This is cool. You don't understand when I travel a lot and it, just a lot of things that are going on in my life. That's really cool. But at the same time, you just don't get to walk into a lot of churches where you feel the Holy Spirit. And you just don't. You don't know how tough it is to. I'm talking, and I'm not beating churches up here today. I don't want to do that. We're going to go in a different direction here. But I was overwhelmed in first service. Overwhelmed by, there's nothing like the Holy Spirit. Nothing like the Holy Spirit, man. It's just. Of course, it's hard for me to do anything without being funny, but I'm not going to go there. But it's just, there's nothing like the Holy Spirit. He has to be here. Yeah, amen. And you guys, you got a cool deal. I love that. It's cool to be here. I really enjoy it. Thanks, James Trent, who some of you know, he's pastored in Grace Falls, Idaho Falls. And now is planning a new church in Nampa. And it's good James is driving for me today. And get older, get more astute, you have a driver, you know. So thanks, James, for being here and hanging out. But I really know, I was here in January, got to share, and we were here and we dedicated the building and had some proclamations and some declarations. And since January, I got to come on a Wednesday, but it's been a crazy, crazy time. In my message today, I'm going to show a video here in just a few moments. It's going to be odd how it all fits in. I'm not quite sure how it's going to do, but one of the reasons I'm showing this video is God's doing such a crazy work right now in our organization called the My360 Project. I'm amazed. I mean, it's crazy. And I want to challenge people to dream. I want to challenge people. We're talking about Jesus culture, and I'm going to talk about subculture today. Last week was pop culture, but I so believe we're living in such a most amazing time. I don't care what the news says. We are living in the most amazing time I have ever imagined. The authority and the power and the open doors and the incredible ability to share the gospel and to go anywhere in the world and to live your most craziest dream as a believer is now, and it's wild. September 2015, I had finished pastoring in Nampa. After 25 years of senior pastoring, I've retired from senior pastoring. I just don't want to do it anymore. Someone said, why you don't want to do it? I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to deal with all you guys. Lord, help us. I feel like Jesus today more than ever. Jesus pick and choose who hung out with him. I pick and choose who hangs out with me. He had the big crowds like this. He left, man. You know what I'm doing today? I'm going to Chubbuck and then I'm leaving. I'm leaving him, and he wants to start another church. I'm going, you're crazy. My son DJ's watching. I'm like, Deej, please don't pastor, man. But in all seriousness, I love what God's doing, but he's just allowed me to do something else. And so September of 2015, we had a conference here, and I began to talk about something that God had placed in my life, and we are going to develop a shoe. And a lot of you have been involved. You've been watching it over the... It's been interesting. Now, let me caveat to here. If I ever come back to this church and I stand and say, hey, I'm going to go develop a shoe with Nike, would someone just take a flipping one of those big potatoes that come out of the ground and hit me in the head and hire me to be a greeter at Walmart, okay? Because I did not realize what in God's name I was getting myself into. And it's been horrible, but yet wonderful. It's like a marriage. It's like my wife was watching First Service. I said, how did I do? She goes, you did wonderful, but blow your nose, you know. But at the same time, I want to show you, it's about a 7-minute video. It's going to fit into the message. But I want to show you where we're at and what God is doing. Because I was telling Pastor Travis, I said, this church is really where I launched the first time to stand in front of people. And faith is the closest thing we have to lying at times. And didn't know a dang thing of what I was doing. But I want you to see what God is doing in the midst. And I don't even have time today. And because we're on live stream, I'm not going to share a couple of pertinent points that he knows. I've shared with him. It's crazy stuff happening. But I just want to leave here today, and I want to plant a seed that whatever God has told you that you're to do, you can do. In the gospel. I'm telling you, it's not over yet. And we're going to talk about Jesus and like Jesus. So let's play this video, and then I'm going to come back and try to figure out what we're going to be doing. Give yourself a hand, because that's where this launched at. Is that not crazy? Mike just finished a shoe for LeBron James. He, on his desk, is a new pair of shoes that he just created for Jordan Spieth. And he's out with a little kid from North Pole with a shoe that he designed just because we ask. Knock and you shall ask, and knock and you shall receive. Don't stop. And I wanted you to see this, and Pastor Travis will share more with you later about it, but cool stuff. Cool stuff. Amazing what happens when you respond to God giving you a crazy idea. And that's the challenge. I don't want to hang out with people that don't want to risk. I want to, this last few years of my life, I'm 51. I know I look 39, but I just lost 20 pounds. I'm going to lose another 30. I've decided, man, this next half of my life, I am not going to allow things to get to me like they have before. October 1st, I was in Puerto Rico. A prophetic friend had called me and said, Daryl, October 1st, the month of October of your life is going to be one of the craziest months you've ever lived. October 1st, I'm in Puerto Rico, got called into a room with the Secret Service. Now you'd think, oh dear Jesus. And that's not a fun feeling, but at the same time, they said, Donald Trump's going to be here Tuesday and he's going to want to meet with you because he wants to see your water project, which is another whole other story. October 1st. And it was crazy because God put President Trump, whether you like him or not, I don't care, put him in my life. And in multiple minutes, our organization got 1 million hits on our water project that right now is saving lives in Puerto Rico. And it is crazy because don't ever doubt. The challenge of where I want to go today is we're talking about Jesus culture, and I want to talk about versus subculture. The red there is Jesus in a sense. Remember when you were a kid and you had to go get the culture done? Have you got your culture done? You say, and they scrape on the back of your throat because you've been out necking in the back of a car with a gal, and you got mono. Come on. Mom, are you kissing girls again? No, yeah, Mom. But it's crazy. There's nothing in our life that can't, it's got to come out of a Jesus culture. The world needs, they need people living in that culture. My father, a great man of God, you heard me talk a lot about him over the years of being here. And as he was mentoring me as a kid, he was funny. It was his own doctrine, but he did not believe you were allowed to read the epistles if you hadn't, first off, understood the red letters and been spirit-filled by the book of Acts. He said, the epistles is a letter. You go read my letter, son, without my permission, you go to prison. Because that's what happens. I mean, if I come to your mailbox and open a letter that you haven't given me permission, it's a federal offense. And from that letter, I can get in trouble on all the things. So he would always say, son, you need to read the red letters, because if you're going to Jesus, you need to Jesus like Jesus. And I want to talk about Jesus and like Jesus today, because the crazy thing is, and I don't even have time to go into it. You heard a song in there by Unspoken. Anybody hear of the band Unspoken? Crazy how God's put, they gave me the song. It was on the, before it even come out, and it's now on K-Love. Crazy stuff. I can't even track in my life right now what God is doing. It's fun stuff, but just live your dream. Go for it. But at the same time, I want the greatest marriage I can ever have in my life.
Amen.
I want to be the greatest father to DJ and Colton and Blake. I'm not trying to build castles. I'm not trying to become famous. But I want to see people come to Christ.
Amen.
And I want my kids there with me. I want my friends there with me. I love the fact that even in that video, and some of you recognize my boys in there, I love the fact that my kids are with me. My son Blake the other day, he's 11 years old, and he's testifying to some kids about, I'm going to say, and you know I have to say it. I had talked to him about foot washing. I said, foot washing did not come from Jesus doing the disciples' feet. It started with a lady of ill repute. Kind of a prostitute woman that came and washed Jesus' feet. You want to know where the example came from in Jesus' heart? It was from her. We don't think that sometimes. So anyways, and then he washed his disciples' feet and all of that. So he's testifying online, playing games, which we all as parents going, God, would you get offline? But he's testifying to his group, and he goes, hey, you know, we just got back from Mexico. We've been washing kids' feet, and man, we washed it. Do you guys love Jesus? He's trying to lead them to Christ. It's really funny, you know. And then he says, but let me tell you about this. We washed their feet. And he said, but it's like, you know, it's not how Jesus, it's the Jesus did the, but it was before Jesus did the disciples. He said, it was this lady, and she was a lady of ill. She was a lady, she was like a hoe. We're listening to this. You're wanting to mentor your son to ministry, but not that way. I never said that. Honestly, I don't say those words yet. And he's up there, and you're dying because he's preaching the gospel. And he goes, it was like a prostitute, you know, a hoe. And she washed his feet. And you're just totally into the moment, you know. But you want your kids with you, you know. But hey, let's change the hoe thing. It's ill repute, you know. Because it's the example of life that makes it worthwhile. When I'm up here one of these days, and this is probably the church that I'll have my funeral in, because most likely I'll go out in some kind of a crazy deal. You won't find my body. But we'll have a box up here. What are we going to say about Daryl? DJ stands right here. What's he going to say about his dad? He built a shoe. He built a 40,000 square foot church in North Pole. I don't want that. He loved people. And he loved me as a son. My wife gets up here. What is she going to say? She knows the darkest, the most dank places in my life. That's what matters. The culture that we live in today is so divided. Back in 99, for a few years of my life, and Travis knows this, I used to run as I was building the church, you do whatever it takes to survive. And because most of you people don't tithe like you should, and that's why I don't want to pastor anymore. Just kidding. And I ran the Santa Claus house, the world famous. You can look at it, SCH.com. It's in North Pole. It's where I lived. And crazy place to work. Fun. Had more fun. One of the greatest Santa Clauses in history. His name was Chris Kringle. For real, had it changed. And oh, great Christian man. Watched him do things with kids that I could not understand. It's crazy. But I was just watching this morning, a guy tagged me, and some religious zealot shows up at North Pole and takes his video camera and goes in and he's debunking Christmas. It's like, it's his thing to do as a believer. Santa's a lie, you know. Really? What's that going to do? You know? But there's something about when a person's real and authentic. It's crazy what happens. Jesus was this person that you all know who he was. You know his time here on earth. John 7 is an interesting story that I find unique because it's one of those stories about him and his family. Because family to me is so important. And this particular chapter is a conversation that starts out, and it starts, you know, Jesus was traveling around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea, where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. Kind of fun. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters, and Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave here, go to Judea, where your followers can see your miracles. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus replied, "Now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on, I'm not going to go to this festival because my time has not yet come." After saying these things, Jesus remained in Galilee. And this is a funny verse right here. "But after his brothers left for the festival, Jesus also went, though secretly, staying out of a public view." Did he just lie to his brothers? You know, isn't this kind of reminding you of when your wife says, "How's these jeans?" You know, Butterfinger. What happened here? This is an interesting story about culture and about how Jesus understood where he is at, who he was talking to, how he was to talk, and how he was to be received. Ravi Zacharias, some of you probably heard him. He's a great apologetic man, speaks all over the world in amazing settings. And he was talking not long ago about how when people ask questions of you, how you're to answer. Some weeks ago on one of the liberal morning shows, I don't watch it, I'd only seen it pop up on the news, a very prominent minister was asked a very, very tough question in front of an audience. "So you're telling me your church believes that abortion is a sin?" A very cut and dry question, yes or no. That's the answer to that question. My wife, who is watching, is an adopted girl, only child. Parents who raised her couldn't have children. Shouldn't be here today because she was to be aborted. And fortunately, a Christian family heard the news, rescued a teenage girl, lived in their home till she was born. And she's here with me today. She's my wife. So you want to talk abortion? Yes or no? I'll talk it all day long, and it doesn't come from any kind of religious standpoint. It just comes from a very intimate standpoint for me. It's a sad deal. But in this particular answer this pastor gave, I thought was a good answer, but took a lot of beating for it. Because the deal is the world wants to get into any kind of escalated argument with us over religious things, but they're not asking it from a religious point of view. So Ravi Zacharias was facing some of this, and because there's three different cultures that we live in, and the first is a culture that's a synonymous, what they call a theonomous culture. It's based on God's view. That's a culture that we as believers, in a sense, believe in, even though maybe, you know, I come from a very conservative, you might have come from, you know, it's interesting in that view. In that view in itself is a lot of interesting things. Women wear dresses, women don't wear, whatever. All of the things that are there, it comes out of that view. The second one, though, and it's a very common way that a person can talk to us, it's called heteronymous, or the study of heteronomy is like the few over many. It's a culture where, and many times this can be like a denomination, it's the few that rule the many, and so when the many answer, they're answering because of it's like a North Korea deal. But the third culture, which a lot of us struggle with, is a culture called autonomous culture. That's self-decision. It's interesting how we can justify. As a believer, that's not a doctrine that we should know much about, but justification's pretty good sometimes when we justify, you know. As a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch television. It was the one-eyed devil. But we learned over the years how to justify watching it. And you just learn how to justify. But yet, if we don't understand these different cultures, you can be in a scenario, even in your own marriage, and you're answering a question that's been asked from the wrong perspective of what they need to hear. So here we have John chapter 7, and you have Jesus having a discussion with his brothers who don't believe in him, who want him to become famous, and are challenging and tempting him to go on to the festival. Now, this particular festival is a pretty cool festival. It lasts 7 days. And at this festival, it's a festival of, and you would have a very good feeling of it here because you live in a farmland, and you know how wonderful it is when you celebrate October and the harvest has come, and all the ground has been fertile. There's a lot of celebration. And so at this particular festival, there would be at the conclusion of it, and we'll get to this in a moment, but let me skip ahead. The priest would go, and they would have this laver of water, and they would have, I think they had wine, I'm not quite for sure, depends on if you're Baptist or not. And it would be poured over the altar, and there was this cool thing that would happen. And so Jesus was asked to go to this festival. He goes, no, it's not my time. His brothers go, but then he goes. And it's strange to me. It's like he just told his brothers, I'm not going at this time. But then he goes. Well, it's understanding. And even in this, there's times, there's things that you're pressed to do and you feel obligated to do, but you shouldn't do. I mean, it's interesting as we grow up, and even in now I'm not negating the honey-do list. Get that done. let me just tell you what's happened here. This guy right here, does your mother-in-law bake really good? What does she do good? Tell us a little bit about it. Oh, you said it's good cook? So everything he said today, man, he's going to get a meal. I mean, pretty cool stuff, you know. So the point of it is, now if he'd have got up here like I would have and had told a mother-in-law joke, wow, it wouldn't have been good. So the point is, sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. The culture of Christ in our life, learning to Jesus like Jesus, is understanding how to say things and when to say it. Because it's so impactful. It's amazing what happens when you listen to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and you know when to say what you need to say. Now, I am not always that way. You've hung out with me long enough. But I can also say, there's things I say that's, I feel like the Lord, I say it because I want to mess with you. I don't want you to be comfortable here today. I don't want you to sit and just go to a lullaby. I want to make you think. I want you to leave here, and I want you to either be so mad at me that you're going to prove me wrong, or I want you to do something for Jesus. Because when you get to heaven, who's standing behind you that you brought? I'm tired of the divorce rate in the church. I'm tired of the issues that are going on with young people. I'm tired of that sex before marriage is just the norm. And I'm not trying to be harsh here today or fire and brimstone, but all of that is negated, not by me getting up here and doing a 5-point sermon on not to have sex before marriage. What negates that and what gets us into a pure living is when the Holy Spirit is so manifest in our life, we understand who we are.
Amen.
When I met Mike, I was a crazy, interesting meeting. He's not a guy that you just get a meeting with. The first thing told to me by Wilson was, "Daryl, he doesn't like Christians." And I'm like, "I don't either." And God opened a crazy door with Mike and I. We're out on this trip, and Mike's not a believer. He's not a believer. But at the end of the trip, James is with us. We're standing around. I go, "Mike, could you pray?" And he goes, "Really?" It's for the food. I mean, I'm not asking you to pray for a leper to get healed. And he goes, "Sure." We hold hands and he goes, "God bless the food, amen." And I said, "Mike, I like your religion already. Some of you guys pray way too long for the food. I'm hungry. I've joined your denomination now." The point is that God's leading him. We'll see what happens. This particular story is so interesting because Jesus is asked to go to this place. A powerful, powerful place. It's a place he needs to be, ultimately. And I think his brothers were feeling some things, but at the same time, they don't believe in him. We continue on in verse 11. The Jewish leaders tried to find him at the festival, kept asking if anyone had seen him. There's a lot of grumbling about him among the crowd. Some argued he's a good man, and others, he's nothing but a fraud. I mean, this sounds like I'm reading a news channel right now about our president who deceives the people, but no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public. I mean, all these things. And I'm not getting political here, but I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, this Jesus guy, he had a lot not going for him. Brothers don't like him, but yet God had a plan. It said, then midway through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and he began to teach. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? The homework assignment, you know, every time I preach or I give it to you, read the whole chapter because it's a powerful chapter. Look at all of the assumptions, all the things that are there. Why is it that we as believers let people suck us into fights that we don't need to be in?
Right.
What does the word assume spell? Assume. All the stuff that's out there. It's crazy what we allow ourselves in marriage. My Lord, 30 years into this thing. What was I thinking? I mean, I married a most amazing gal, but it's not easy. It's like these people that come to pre-marriage when I was pastoring. It's like, oh, really? You want to get married? My first session is to try to talk you out of it. Do you realize? I mean, I had 5 sisters. I'm the baby. I mean, that's why I didn't date much. Man, I was on the other side of the door. You know, I'm like, these women are dramatic. I don't want to hurt them, you know. My first session is to try to talk you out of it, because I can talk you out of it, you don't need to be in it. Because you're entering into the most sacred ever thing that God created. And yet it's the most amazing, and yet it's the most worst. Daryl, you did a great job this morning preaching, but blow your nose. But we get pulled into things, and I'm walking through a heavy divorce right now with a friend, 5 kids involved, and I'm like, dude. What she's saying right now isn't what you need. Don't listen. Don't hear what's being said because she's speaking it from a different culture at this moment. You got to hear what God wants you to hear. We're believers. We're Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so you can know the wonderful things God has freely given you. But why as believers do we get sucked into the world spirit all the time? Why do we get pulled in to this fight that's not our fight? I had a lady walk in my office years ago. Most likely she's watching today, and so you've heard me tell the story. I believe in abortion. I don't know why. And I'm sitting in my office and she is going off on me. She's a lot older than I am. She probably knows karate. And she needed to shave. And she's trying to pull me into a fight. And I looked up and I said, man, too bad your mom didn't believe in abortion. Hard. She started crying. And at that moment, God delivered her of something that wasn't even what she was saying. And I got up and I gave her a hug and I began to cry with her. One of the greatest, and I've talked about him here, he's a wonderful, wonderful friend. He's one of the greatest scientists that I know. And I remember he walked in my office years and years ago. He's a professor at the university. And he said, I believe in evolution. And you can't ever convince me differently. The guy's got a couple PhDs. And he's going on, and he's going on, and he's going on. I said, you know, doctor, the more you talk and the more I look at your facial bone structure, I think I'm going to believe in evolution. What are you saying? I said, let me ask you one question. You just left a service. What'd you feel? Can you explain what you felt? He goes, no. I said, so why are you in here? He said, I just want you to make me mad so I won't come back. I said, well, did the bone facial structure thing work? He goes, no, that was actually kind of funny. 20 years later, the guy is one more secular scientist of the Lord than you could ever imagine. What I'm saying is that you can't always do it like I do it. And I don't always do it right, because there's people probably watching who hate me, and I'm cool with that, because there was people who hated Jesus. But I know this, when we understand culture and we understand what God has called us to do, you can have the greatest marriage. You can learn how to speak properly and not speak properly, and you can learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, because as Jesus is in this particular festival, now let's skip ahead. Remember, his brothers wanted him there to get famous. Remember that at this festival, at the climax, in fact, it says in verse 37, on the last day at the climax of the festival, at the very crescendo. Has anyone ever been to a Jewish festival? Anyone ever been to Israel and hung out for a while and just got to party with the Jewish people? I love partying with the Jewish people. You stick the yarmulke on, and it's a fun deal. The wine that Jesus made was not grape juice. You can just take that, however you want to take it. I love the Jewish festivals. It's a blast. Go to Israel if you get a chance. As dangerous as it may be, at least if you die there, you might resurrect in 3 days. I mean, and my best mother-in-law joke is about Israel, so we're not even going to go there. The climax of the festival, here's Jesus. The priest. The religious order, the theocracy, what's being seen as making their way for this final presentation of the water. And the rabbinical writings and outside of what the Word of God says, but you can read in the Word, it says there's so many other things that happen, we don't even have words, pages to contain it. But it's said, the rabbinical writings and through tradition, this story's been passed down, is as the priest came to the altar to present the water into the celebration of this incredible time, when they went to pour, there was nothing in the laver. See, here's what's interesting. Everything's God timing. Jesus had already been in. They tried to arrest him. You read the story. All these things are going on. But Jesus is dealing with all the cultures. I mean, he's responding. He's right where he needs to be for teaching. He's over here. The guards come back and say, we couldn't arrest him. I don't want to touch this guy. And now we're at the climax of this, and we're at the pinnacle. And all of a sudden, it says, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowd. Let me tell you, there's a time that we get to shout. And when it's the right time, it's crazy what happens. But in most cases, we shout when we shouldn't be shouting. We rub a finger in someone's face and we love to use the word sin. And it's unfortunate. And yet, I'm telling you, you guys have this thing happening here. And it's been going on for some time. And God's doing some stuff. But more than even that, I don't know where you're at today and where you need to be with Him and how staunch you are on stuff. But God loves you so much. He wants to use you. He wants to take your life into places you've never been before. You might be in the middle of almost divorcing. And God wants to come in and shift your heart and wants you to say, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. It's crazy what God can do with being able to work in the subcultures of today, and it never bothers Him. And here at this time, at the climax of this festival, all of a sudden we're in the waters to be poured out. It's not there. And Jesus stands and says, it's here. Because what does He say? Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And look what it talks about. When he said the living water, he's speaking about what? The Holy Spirit. We have to be people that have the Holy Spirit radiating in our life. We don't have to be sloppy agape and we're always, oh, hallelujah. No, we have stuff. We have things that happen in our life, things that go on. We're tried. As I said before, if I was to ever come back here and say, I'm going to start a shoe company, somebody hit me with an Idaho spud. It's been horrible. It's been lonely. There's been tears. Poor Travis. The gray hair that Travis is there, it's not from Tina. It's from Daryl. These are from Tina. No, it's from Travis, you know, and Daryl, you can make it. And it's crazy stuff, but the point of it is it's not always just wonderful. But when you're in God's wheel, when you're working inside of a culture and God's placing you in places, it's amazing what goes on, because when the power of the Holy Spirit's working in our life, anything is possible.
Yeah.
So in 2 Corinthians 12, as I was talking about, you've not received God's Spirit. You've received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so you can know the wonderful things of God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use that words that come from human wisdom. I'm not trying to be up here and be a philosopher today. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual... And Paul's actually writing right now. He's not talking about the secular world. He's talking about the Christians. Can't receive those truths from God's Spirit. That's why we get so frustrated sometimes. Because we're trying to do spiritual things with unspiritual things. It's the guy in West Virginia who went and rented the chainsaw. All day long brings this new contraption back and said, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm going back to an axe. And the guy goes, what do you mean? What's wrong with it? He said, it's a horrible thing. This is the craziest invention ever. And the owner of it, the renter, looks at it and he clicks the switch. He goes, whoom, whoom. The guy goes, what's that sound? You'll get it in a moment. Sinking in? The point of it is, we're sometimes trying to operate something. We're sometimes trying to make something happen. We just need to wait for a moment. We just need to prepare ourselves. We need to watch what happens. Sometimes you got to wait till the water runs out. Sometimes you got to be at the very end of the rope. Sometimes you got to be at a place and you're so desperate. But the most exciting thing about that is I can truly say, I look at that picture right there and I'm only there by the grace of God. I am too feeble. I'm too crazy. I say the wrong things. I've done it today. Probably you're keeping track 43 and a half times. It doesn't matter, but by the grace of God, He's allowing me to do something that I love doing.
Amen.
Man. This little boy that was running at the end of the video, his name was Rockmod or something. Rockmod. And we had to buy, he was one of my test kids, and he had the shoes for about 6 months. It cost me $25 to buy the shoes back from him. Gave him a new pair. We're standing there, you can see a little picture of it, but we're standing there, and here's Mike, and we're looking at these test pair of shoes, and we're both amazed that these things have lasted 6 months in Kamloops. It's amazing. Well, up walks the parents, and they're excited that the kid's shoes. And up walks the parents, and here's the father, and they're at a migrant camp, and all of the other men are gone, but here's this guy, and we're thinking, what are you doing here? His arm, he said, I can't work. I've been out of work for 3 weeks. My arm is hurt. We're doing shoes. I'm standing with Mike. And up walks Wild Man James and Mary, both hairdressers on the mission, and they're like, can we pray for you? So I'm working with Mike on the shoe. We have videographers filming, because we had taken a National Geographic, that's who filmed this for us, is a guy from there, and are connected. We're doing, you know, this. All of a sudden, here's this guy who can't move his arm, and he's truly in pain. You could see it. And I'm kind of looking at him, and I'm kind of keeping Mike's segment. Mike's not a Christian. I don't want him being, you know. I'm culture for a moment. I'm playing culture with him. James is like, no. No, he wasn't that wild. I'm mentoring James not to do that. That would be Travis. They're praying for this guy. In moments, he's healed.
Amen.
So Mike's standing there. We're looking at this shoe. And Mike's going. We're looking. That's cool stuff. We weren't trying to orchestrate anything. But that's the stuff that God wants to do. And it's in that situation. So later on that evening, and you can have your opinion on this movie, counsel with Pastor Travis over it. But we had watched The Shack. And I've become friends with the guy who wrote the movie and the book, and I enjoy him. And the next day, I'm having coffee with Mike, and I said, Mike, what do you think about that movie? He said, man, if God could just be that way. I said, God is that way. It's crazy what God is doing in the world.
Amen.
Don't give up. He's preparing you for places that you're going to get to shout. He's going to put you in places that you need to be quiet. He's going to put you in places where you just need to avoid a situation because it's not time. He's going to put you in situations where you need to be right here. But when we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it goes on to say, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. And all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can elevate all things and evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That's my prayer for you. See, I stand here today, and this will sound harsh. I really, in one sense, don't care what you think about me. And that sounds hard. If I was the senior pastor, I need to concern myself. But also, I do love you, and I value your opinions. But I'm challenging people. Let's live for God in abandonment. Let's have respect and let's care. But the point is, don't go out there tomorrow and get on. You don't need to yell. But there's a time that you're going to need to yell. There's a time that you just need to be quiet, because the subculture that we live in is so hungry. To me, when that lady on The View asked that question of the pastor, I don't know a lot about her. I've heard some things. I just feel like she's asking it from such a painful place. God, help me. Help me to be able to respond in the right way. Help me to be able to say what you said. Because here's what's so cool. These brothers that didn't believe in Christ, these brothers that tried to manipulate him to become famous, one of them got to write a book in the Bible. And every one of them died for the cause of their brother. That's powerful stuff. You don't need to always win right now. He's won. We don't always need to understand everything that's going on. Just take a break. Pause. And let God speak for you.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.